I hope that they shift their thinking, believing in themselves. I can do this, whatever this is, you know, and knowing that if they get themselves to a point where they start thinking that they can't do this, again, whatever that thing is, that they know what steps to take to get there again. Do they need to take a step back and look at what they're eating in their nutrition? Do they need to take a step back and look at their stress? Do they need to take a step back and look at their overall health, whether it be hormonal health or stress or whatever? What's getting in the way of that? And then be able to get themselves back into that place. You always have kind of like that recipe for getting you back on board. Because really, I feel like life is all about taking a look at where you want to go, how you can get there, and are you there? If you're there, then yay, that's good. You should enjoy being there. And how can you enjoy being there?
This is Get Personal with Dr. Chris. Real life stories and informative conversations, helping you take control of your health and feel like yourself again.
I have been very busy preparing for my Relax, Rejuvenate, and Reconnect retreat, which is happening the weekend of April 19th in Page Springs, Arizona. And it has me thinking about all of my favorite tools for the mind and body. I've always been a huge fan in the mind-body connection and how it relates back to health. This is dating back to when I got my master's degree in health psychology. So today I am joined by my son, Anthony, again to talk about some of my favorite things that have shaped me as a person and healthcare provider. These are my favorite books about mind-body connection and creating a healthy mindset. My top four all-time favorite supplements, which are essential for me and my family, and my favorite ways to relax and de-stress, which is absolutely critical for healing and well-being. All of these things are going to play a huge role in our relaxing retreat in beautiful northern Arizona. We will have a private chef making us organic meals, yoga, and sound bath sessions, and lots of fun, inspirational conversation. Check out my Instagram for more information on that. I would love to have you join us. So today, in getting ready for my first women's retreat, I was thinking about and wanted to share with you what my inspiration is. So all along throughout my life, I have been involved in health, health education, health coaching, all of those things. And then, of course, went to medical school as a naturopath. And I share a lot of the knowledge, obviously medical knowledge I have with everyone, but it's nice to be able to share kind of the inspirational knowledge or kind of that lifestyle knowledge, because really, that's what I do, is not only try to help you physically and psychologically, but also just how do you create that lifestyle that's going to support your health through your whole lifespan. And so as I was thinking about the retreat, I was also thinking about what's the inspiration for the retreat. So I thought I would share that with you. The first retreat's coming up in, gosh, I think 5 weeks from now. So obviously I'm really focused on getting ready for that. And that's what kind of led me to this moment. So today, Anthony, my son, and I are going to kind of just chat about what are some of those big inspirational things in my life that I want to deliver to you. We're going to talk about my favorite authors and why I like to read their books. Also talk about, you know, supplements, because health in general, we want to eat as best we can. And we get a lot of our nutrients from food. And I truly believe that. But sometimes we just have to fill in the gaps. So I have those favorite supplements. And then finally, what are my favorite ways to relax and how you can maybe bring those into your life? Because I will tell you that stress is the number one thing I find in an obstacle to cure or an obstacle to make your health the best that it can be. And so I believe that about myself. I believe that about my patients and anyone that might be listening. So sharing with you maybe some of those things that I do. Maybe that'll inspire you to discover some of those things that are best for you. So I'm going to have Anthony get us started, and we will move into maybe his probably his favorite category, which would be books.
Yeah, and when you talk about your approach to medicine and healing, and it really involves a lot of like inspiration, and we're talking mm-hmm. about your favorite books. I mean, it makes me think that it's really relevant that you have a strong background in psychology. I don't know how much you've talked about that on this podcast, but I mean, you've talked about how you did health coaching and fitness, but you also spent a lot of time studying psychology and doing like counseling type things at various points.
Well, mind body's always been my love, mm-hmm. right? And so one of my favorite classes when I was in graduate school was a class called physiological psychology. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. I was, you know, from the very beginning, how can you be healthy if you don't feel healthy, you know, and how can you feel healthy if you aren't healthy? I mean, the whole thing, the mind-body connection is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, my first directional steps while I wanted to be in health education was also in counseling. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of felt that my hands were tied a little bit when I was only in the counseling world, because I felt like, well, okay, but you have to be healthy. And so we need to change these parts of your mm-hmm. physical life, but that wasn't going to be my role if I was just going to be basically in cognitive behavioral psychology. Mm-hmm. So I found my place in health education where I was able to do both things.
Yeah, you've always done both and you have some expertise in both. What are your favorite books that fall into this part of the equation, the mind and the motivation?
Well, I think that over time, and you can, you know, if you look some of these authors up, you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's a long time ago. But remember, I've been in that world, that mind-body world for a very long time since, you know, the late 80s. And I would have to say one of the first authors, his name's Norman Cousins, and he did a lot of research on how laughter would cure, if not slow down, the pathway of cancer. And it was one of the coolest studies I've ever seen. And the way he describes it is super interesting and inspirational, and also kind of connects the dots by, you know, heck, if you are going to go outside and breathe and laugh, it's amazing that it changes your cellular structure. It literally changes your insides. And I just found that to be super inspirational and kind of a jumping off place for me in terms of, okay, well, these are the authors that I'm going to look to. And I did quite a bit of work in the world of eating disorders when I was in college. So my master's program, I was able to work on the campus of NAU and with other women, young women that needed help with those kinds of things, eating disorders. And in fact, trying to deal with who you are by controlling the way you look is one of the things that unfortunately many of us try to do. So one of the authors that I used often and ran several support groups around is Jeanine Roth. And she is still writing. One of her very first books, Breaking Free from Compulsive Eating, was a book that I based an entire program on with young women. And she's written other books now, you know, When Food is Love. And I will tell you that last week in my practice and with my patients, I recommended When Food is Love to a patient. I mean, we've talked on this podcast before about semaglutide, also known as Ozempic, tirzepatide, also known as Mounjaro, and how it's such a big craze right now. And I like the medication. I use the medication. We've talked about it on this podcast, and it's super important, but it's not the end. It's never the end. And the biggest criticism is, well, you go off of the semaglutide and you gain all your weight back. And the truth of the matter is, yeah, you will. If you eat for love, if your food is representative to you, something other than nutrition, if you eat because you're stressed, if you eat because you're bored, if there's a lot of other cues in your environment to food other than nutrition, you could be on semaglutide your entire life and you'll never achieve what you want to. That's the diet mentality. And I always used to tell my patients, you know, the word diet has the word D-I-E in it. Mm. And it's not gonna fulfill you your whole life. So Janine Roth was one of the very first authors that I actually took her book and used it, gave it to all my participants in my groups that I ran. And we went through it chapter by chapter. We followed a lot of our guidelines. And I think that if you're looking for a way to change eating behavior in a positive way, she's still one of the best authors.
Yeah, that's a good example because specifically with semaglutide, I mean, we talk a lot about having a holistic approach to not just semaglutide, but everything. So, you know, you could just take semaglutide and hope that fixes everything, or you can make it a part of a larger effort to like shift like the role that food has in your life and how you see it. And that's where you get a real lasting change.
Exactly. And that's the goal. Isn't that the overall goal? Is to get that lasting change, to find that lasting health, mm-hmm. and to find, you know, in terms of weight management, but to find that weight that your body is comfortable at, that your mind is comfortable, that your whole being is comfortable, that it's a place where obviously physiologically you're healthy, but, you know, psychologically you're accepting. I talk to women all the time too about perimenopause, menopause, and, you know, your body wants to put on 5 pounds, maybe even 10 pounds over the age of 50. It wants to because it's trying to protect you. It really does. If you're too low in weight as you age, you are going to break bones more easily. You're not going to have backup if you get sick. And you need that backup. It's like your savings account. So your body naturally wants to do that. And accepting who you are, where you are, is a big part of it. I realize I'm in the whole anti-aging industry, which I hate calling it that. But it's more about feeling good about yourself as you age and, you know, not wanting to run away from birthdays, but wanting to embrace birthdays, basically, right? And if that requires, you know, an extra 5 pounds of weight, that's not going to be detrimental to your health, I promise you. 15 pounds will, 20 pounds will, but five, no, maybe that's just where we need to be. And that's, I think, where a lot of the mind-body work that Janine Roth has done comes in handy.
Okay. Any others?
It's been many, many years that I also have embraced Brené Brown's books. I would say I discovered her Gifts of Imperfection when I was in medical school. So probably back around 2012, 2013, she had a book called Gifts of Imperfection. And the Gifts of Imperfection was one of her first books, I believe, that kind of began to address where you are in life and more acceptance of who you are and letting go of all the shoulds. I should do this. I should do that. Should, you know, back when I was teaching a lot more self-esteem workshops, stress management workshops, we always had a saying, don't should on yourself. And that's true. There's really no reason for the word to be in our vocabulary. It doesn't do us any good. And that's really a big part of the Gifts of Imperfection and, you know, more of that acceptance. Not, you know, it's not about maybe accepting mediocrity or accepting places where you're not healthy, but it is about not shooting on yourself. I should do this. I should be that. I should have done that. You know, all those signs of regret and remorse that are not really going to serve you at all, whether in your mental health or your physiological health.
So both with that book and with the Roth books, it seems like there's a theme of acceptance, like you were saying, accepting aging, accepting your body. Have you seen in your recent work as a doctor, like, have you seen patients that you've kind of coached through that and seen them make a change in that area and see it like manifest and just well-being and even better health?
Oh my gosh, 100%. Women and men alike. It's almost like if you take that one step, Like, if you've got all these things going on, physically, let's say you have everything from elevated cholesterol, elevated sugars, you're 25 pounds overweight, you might be if you're a female, you might be perimenopausal or menopausal. And it feels like it's just like overwhelming. If when you get overwhelmed, you're just like, forget it, I'm walking away. I should weigh less. Mm-hmm. I should exercise. I should, you know, eat this and that. And I, you know, should work more. I should save more. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere. It's all that. But the minute they're able to just get a grip on one thing, and sometimes that's replacing their hormones, to be honest. Sometimes because that has such an effect on our mind, the loss of estrogen or mm-hmm. the loss of testosterone in men. Once we're able to replace some of those things, it's almost like a light bulb. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay. But really at any age, it takes just that one thing, just picking that one thing that you want to change and working towards that, that helps you to be able to go, okay, I can now do the next thing. And now I might be able to do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're just like, have this epiphany that, okay, I can be a healthy person. It's kind of like, I don't know if you remember, and a lot of people that listen have known that you've dealt with the Lyme's disease and a lot of chronic stuff in your past, 10 years of your life. And it's kind of like that feeling or that manifestation of the relationship to whatever chronic illness you have. Like if you just, I am Lyme's or I am fat or I am unhealthy. Just when you're owning that becomes your label. There is no way you're going to break out of that. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. It has to be, you know, separating yourself from, well, I'm living at an unhealthy weight right now, or I am dealing with a chronic illness. It just changing mm-hmm. the verbiage around those things helps you be able to manifest something in a more positive way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think it's always a challenge to get the right balance between being motivated and making progress towards the things that you want to make progress towards, but at the same time, not being so hard on yourself and just defeated that you're not, you know, not doing better. Like, I want to be like, cause I had with just the kind of chronic illness thing specifically, I've at times flip-flopped too far in one direction or the other at sometimes just being like, mm-hmm. whatever, I'm just going to forget about it, pretend it doesn't exist, and then it will be fine. And then it gets worse, and you can't just like pretend it away. But then on the other hand, getting too invested in it and identifying with it and just becoming hyper aware of how I feel all the time, and that just makes everything worse. So finding a happy middle spot where you're not identifying with all your failures or what you perceive as your failures, but you're still motivated to get certain things done, or that seems to be the sweet spot.
Yeah. And Brené Brown, all of her books really are based on her research. She did a lot of research. I mean, PhD in sociology, essentially, and how we behave as individuals and in our society. But her daring greatly, you know, rising strong, braving the wilderness, it's all about, you know, finding where you're at, being vulnerable, and allowing that vulnerability to make you stronger. It's a whole, all of that I 100% believe in, that, you know, we have to strip down to build up, kind of thing. She also wrote a great book, Dare to Lead, which we actually read in my practice. So the group of us doctors read that chapter by chapter, and that's, you know, kind of like same thing. As a leader, you have to be vulnerable to a certain extent. You have to be willing to understand where you need to make changes and be accepting of that, what I would say, constructive criticism, which is hard for me. Ask anybody who knows me, mm-hmm. especially my family. Don't tell me I did something wrong. But it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard. And that whole vulnerability is part of it. And I think, you know, going back into the retreat for a minute, I think that that's going to be a big part of the mm-hmm. retreat, learning how to be vulnerable and being accepting of that. And that opens you up for growth. Mm-hmm. It always opens you up for growth. Step back, take a look, take a minute and a breath, and then you can grow. But when you aren't vulnerable, when you're not opened up, when you're not allowing yourself or others in, you can't grow. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of what I'm working on for the retreat mm-hmm. too. So I'm using a lot of her stuff for the retreat.
So what do you hope, like, people who go to the retreat, when they go through these talks and stuff that you have planned, what do you hope that they get from that? Like, what would be your dream of they come out, you know, at the end of the retreat? How have they, like, kind of shifted their thinking on certain things?
I hope that they shift their thinking, believing in themselves. I can do this, whatever this is, you know, and knowing that if they get themselves to a point where they start thinking that they can't do this, again, whatever that thing is, that they know what steps to take to get there again. Do they need to take a step back and look at what they're eating in their nutrition? Do they need to take a step back and look at their stress? Do they need to take a step back and look at their overall health, whether it be hormonal health or stress or whatever? What's getting in the way of that? And then be able to get themselves back into that place so that wherever you are, you always have kind of like that recipe for getting you back on board, getting you back on the road again. Because really, I feel like life is all about taking a look at where you want to go, how you can get there. And are you there? If you're there, then yay, that's good. You should enjoy being there. And how can you enjoy being there?
But then not being too hard on themselves at the same time. That's the key.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Accepting of who you are, where you want to go, and how you get there.
Okay. Do you want to talk now a little bit about some of your favorite supplements?
So when it comes to supplements, I will have to be honest and say I never took any supplements. And this is a full on, let me be open and raw, including I never took prenatals with all my four kids. Luckily, all turned out great. But I was fully and completely convinced that I could get my nutrients from food. And I will tell you, I did eat well. I've always eaten well. I've always been conscious of my nutrition. I've always exercised. So I feel like I have overall pretty healthy lifestyle. But were there things missing? Probably. You know, there probably were things missing. So now that I've been obviously more educated in supplements and how they can supplement your life, that's the reason, and supplement your diet, there are ones that I know everybody's deficient in and supplements that I believe make a giant difference in your life. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that vitamin D is the number one supplement. And the reason is because I'm an Arizona native, and I've looked at blood work in a lot of people, and even patients that are in Arizona and go outside. And if you wear sunscreen, you're blocking the rays, which is good. But at the same time, your body's not able to absorb the vitamin D that's coming from its natural source. Sure, there are foods that have vitamin D. Mushrooms is a good example. Fortified foods like different forms of milk, but it's still not enough. And a lot of us have different forms of genetic deficiencies that are keeping us from creating the D3 product that comes from the D1 product and then the D2 and then D3 in your body. It's a whole process. It's complicated. So a lot of us are not processing vitamin D well from our environment. That's why most of my patients and myself included, I'm like, yeah, you just have to take it. And it's no big deal. It's a fat soluble vitamin. Take it with food so that it gets absorbed. And I see it change. I see it change hormonal health, your immune system, your mental health. It's a big deal. Vitamin D is a big
one.
It
has a wide range of effects. Then people go on it after being deficient. You see all kinds of different benefits.
Yeah. And keep in mind, if you're taking a multivitamin, which is not in my top five vitamins. A multivitamin is meant for somebody that's not seeing a naturopath or a functional medicine specialist, does not know what they're deficient in. So you're being like, okay, I'm just going to take a multi to kind of fill in the gaps. But there's never going to be enough of one nutrient in a multivitamin to give you what you need if you're deficient, especially if it's vitamin D.
Okay. And so magnesium, I see you have listed, and I know that we basically did a whole episode about magnesium, but what do you tell people when you're having a quick conversation about magnesium? What's the biggest points that you hit?
Well, first of all, it's hard to have a quick conversation about magnesium because there's so many kinds. People are always confused. Magnesium citrate or malate or glycinate or oxide. Magnesium is used as a filler in some supplements. The oxide version is kind of useless. And you know, citrate makes you poop, basically, keeps you regular. Glycinate crosses the blood-brain barrier, so it helps with sleep calming. And malate is more about your muscles, calming the muscles, decreasing muscle cramps. So you have to find that magnesium that best suits you. Everybody knows I'm a big fan of MagSRT, which is the Jigsaw product. And we had Patrick on one of my podcasts talking about it. But I will tell you the reason I prescribe that more often, and that's one I take too. But the reason I take it is because when you calm down the muscles a lot, you'll calm the brain. You'll calm the entire nervous system. It's like when you do deep breathing or relaxation, your parasympathetic nervous system takes over. Now you've calmed all the system and you can sleep and you can think and you can breathe. You can do all the good things. So that's why I really love that version. Now that, and that particular supplement's a slow release. So you take it and it slowly releases over time. Magnesium is crucial for every cell in your body. That's why everybody needs to take it. Like it's, and especially crucial for perimenopause and menopausal women. So obviously it's the sweet spot for me when it comes to supplementing.
Okay. So, and I mean, all of these I just know really well because you really do have them everywhere at home and you pretty much recommend them to everyone. So the next one will be dehist.
Dehist is, so there are so many people that have allergies. They may have seasonal allergies. They may also have allergies that are associated with particular foods, sensitivities. Everything is about histamine balancing. And sometimes it's the environment that causes our histamine to be out of balance. And sometimes it's the food we eat. But dehist just happens to be a natural supplement that has several products in it, including bromelain, quercetin, which are anti-inflammatory, stinging nettles, which is basically a natural antihistamine, NAC, which is also incredibly important for your liver and your detox, but also for your lungs. So it just happens to be this pretty great formula that's been put together. And I use it for people instead of their over-the-counter allergy medicines. And it seems to do the trick. Mm-hmm. And if you can take something like that instead of an over-the-counter, then you're not going to get the drying that you get. And the dryness in your body, it sets yourself up for illness. I mean, viruses love a dry lungs. Bacteria loves everything dry. And so we don't want to dry up your body. I mean, the minute anybody feels congested, they have a cold, virus, anything upper respiratory, I use dehist every single time because it decreases your congestion. Because it opens up the airways and it is able to kind of bring the secretions out so the mucus can flow a little bit better. It's being proactive. You know what I mean? Why would you want to wait until you're super congested and super sick and feel terrible when, you know, the minute you feel any congestion, the minute you feel any out of sorts, that's when you take dehist. That's when you increase your vitamin D and that's when you take your supplements to the next level. Supplementation is good for everyday life, but it's even better for when you feel like you have something that's starting, something that's going to be a thing, going to make you sick, not going to feel good.
Dehist definitely has just very loyal following by our family. I mean, it's definitely one of the essential supplements for, anytime anything starts to come up. So, and this one also. So what can you say about Nutrafol?
Oh gosh, hair changes, hair loss, hair shedding, hair in my practice, working with women every day is like a topic of conversation all the time. So I'm constantly trying to find the root cause of hair loss and the root cause of hair changes. What are the root causes? Stress, weight loss, loss of estrogen, too much DHT, which is a form of testosterone. You name it, there's many reasons we end up with hair changes. And gray hair, as gray hair is coming in, even though we're coloring it, it has a different texture. It reacts differently. So I'm constantly looking for something that can really just supplement our nutrition and supplement anything that's going on with our life in terms of hair. Hair, skin, and nails get what's left over. They're not like first in line for nutrients. Mm-hmm. First in line for nutrients, brain, heart, bones. I mean, for obvious reasons, you want your organs to be very well nourished.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I don't think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe people do, but I haven't thought that much about hair as being related to nutrients. I mean, most of the hair loss products that are popular are not, they don't seem to be like nourishing your body to help grow hair. They seem more kind of like blocking certain hormones or just doing kind of more harsh things. But yeah, just looking at hair from kind of a nutrient perspective, I guess that's why it's probably called Nutrafol.
Probably. Good idea. Yeah. I mean, it is different in different phases of life. I mean, male pattern baldness that happens, you know, early onset or in the 20s or maybe even 30s, that's pretty genetic. And it is hard to fix that. And that's where some of those stronger chemicals come in that are trying to really block DHT on the scalp. But after that, it's more about nutrients. Mm-hmm. It is. It's more about, you know, the hair just not getting what it needs. And hair is a product of protein. So that's why protein, collagen, as we age, those things kind of decrease. Our need increases for protein. The collagen production decreases as estrogen decreases. So that's why we get the correlation of menopause or perimenopause and the decreased estrogen. Now we don't have, our hair doesn't grow as well. Our skin doesn't look as good. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely a product that I use with patients in it. And keep in mind, like most supplements, I mean, DHIS might be a little bit different because that kind of works right away. But a lot of supplements, especially this one, Nutrafol, and on all the hair supplements, they take a while. Hair is a 6 to 8 week turnaround in terms of the cycle. And you're going to have to take something for at least 2 to 3 months to really see a change. And I will say NAC, which is a part of the formula in DHIST, is also important in hair health because hair health will also not grow if your body's very toxic. So if you need glutathione, you need to be healthy. So NAC, just taken on its own, and acetylcysteine, which is a precursor for glutathione, has seemed to, in the studies, also help with hair. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of another one, and that's not in Nutrafol.
Mm. Okay, so those are the greatest hits for your supplements. And so for stress, can you talk about some of your favorite ways to de-stress and also how these things will be incorporated into the retreat?
Stress is incredibly relative to who you are. Stress is good and stress is bad. It depends on how you see your surrounding life. I mean, some people love to be busy, 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 and some people hate it. And some people see being busy as stressful, and some people see seeing busy as good and fun. So first of all, it's about identifying the stressors in your life. You know, you might think that you love being busy, but maybe that's causing you more stress. So identifying the stressors are important. And I find that journaling and taking a minute to write things down for me helps that. You know, like, wait a minute, where am I? What's going on? And what is it that's causing me the stress that I'm feeling right now? And it doesn't even have to be a fancy anything. It can be just a journal. I have a like a spiral bound smaller notebook that I was given at a workshop I went to, and I really resonated with it. I love it. I don't know why. Maybe it's the colors. Maybe it's because it says you're capable of amazing things on it. I don't know why, but I like it. And so it's been the book I've used for writing things down and getting my thoughts organized. So I think it helps to first identify what's stressful for you. And then picking out what are those things that kind of brings you from that sympathetic overload back into the parasympathetic mode. And your sympathetic overload is that fight or flight. That's when cortisol is being released. That's when your body's like, oh my gosh, we got to get out of here because something bad's going to happen. It's that constant elevated heart rate, that constant elevated breath. Our body does not do well in that state. It is meant to only happen for a small amount of time. And then we need to bring it back down. So I will tell people and explain them all the time, if you're exercising, then yay, that's good. But if you're exercising in something that has got you at this at exponential speed and you're go, 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 and you just go run to the gym, hurry, do your workout, jump in your car, drive home, do the next thing, that's not doing you any good. It's really not. But that doing exercise that will give you that increased elevated heart rate and elevated breath so that you can help your heart. That's good. But then finding that way to calm things down. And maybe that's with breath work. I love mm-hmm. breath work. I love the sound bath healing breath workouts that I get to go to. And that'll be part of our retreat. Mm-hmm. And I obviously love yoga. I tell you, one of the important things about yoga, or I know I've talked about bar 3 classes or some of those organized things that you can go do, is that you bring your heart rate up and it elevates, and then you have the opportunity to calm things down again. So you're at the sympathetic mm-hmm. mode and then you're back down. And that is the best way to calm the body down and bring that body back into homeostasis. Breathing, of course, is well known to do that. And I love to just take a deep breath, you know? Music has always been a stress relief for me. I love music. I listen to usually instrumental music and pianos and all kinds of jazz instruments. That's what seems to be the relaxing thing for me. But music stimulates the side of the brain that is not involved with thinking. It's only involved with emotions for the most part and your creative side. So that's why I think for a lot of people who do a lot of thinking and a lot of analyzing and all of that, if you listen to music, you can stimulate that other side of your brain, which is really, really helpful.
Yeah, I guess what you're all describing, it kind of shows why Shavasana is the best, where you're doing a workout and then you're meditating after. And yeah, recently I started doing body scan meditations that are like kind of based on, yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap with like yoga nidra. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I often have a problem, especially if I have to wake up really early. I just get so stressed at night that I can't fall asleep, mm-hmm. and it's just terrible cycle. And however, I've had to do that a few times recently, and I've done like a good 15-minute body scan meditation, and it made a huge difference, and I was able to fall asleep.
Yeah, one of the authors I didn't mention that really goes well in here is Joe Dispenza. So Joe Dispenza, have you seen or heard of him, Anthony?
No.
He does a ton of work in like the power of your mind, mind body, how the meditation helps with your cellular structure, cellular change, healing, all of those things. So that's a really good resource for training yourself to meditate, because trust me, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And getting yourself to the point where you can really kind of take yourself away and really meditate and bring that body level down, bring that sympathetic nervous system down into the parasympathetic and bring your body into a place where it can heal. Mm-hmm. So he's one that I didn't mention that would be really, really good mm-hmm. for that particular thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So can you just explain a little bit more about the retreat? Yeah.
So it was really important for me to find a retreat place that I thought had good energy. You know, I mean, I love going to really fancy places. I'm not going to lie. I like going to spas. I like doing all the things. But in this case, I really felt like it needed to be someplace that was closer to nature. Mm-hmm. We live in Arizona. Sedona's right there. It's world famous for all the everything, you know, meditation and mm-hmm. all the things. But I felt like Sedona was a little bit too cliche mm-hmm. for me. And maybe it's just because I'm an Arizona native. So just south of there is a small community called Page Springs. This is a place that has 6 acres of green, has a pond and a stream, and it even has rescued horses and goats on the property. It has a yurt, which is a circular building that's perfect for the yoga and the discussion times. And it also has a fire ring. And then, you know, the people who are cooking are two women that do all the cooking for the retreat center, and all the food is organically grown and locally sourced. And we get to pick all the things that we're going to be eating. So I just felt like I had really good energy there. And my whole goal was to arrive to be able to just take a deep breath. And, you know, we're opening with the owner of the retreat center is a medicine man. He's a Native American medicine man. So he's doing an opening ceremony to kind of mark the start of journey, which around a fire sounds great to me. We're going to be doing yoga the next morning before we do our sessions, starting with a lot of this vulnerability, how to get yourself into the next phase of life and allowing yourself to get there, and being aware of what your barriers might be, whether it be physical and hormones or whether it's nutrition. That whole day is going to be spent on what are those barriers and how can you overcome them. And then that evening, returning to kind of fireside, bringing things back together. But both nights, we're going to be doing some fun, quote, happy hour, which will be like healthy elixirs. And, you know, and then the next morning, finishing up with a sound bath and sound healing. So I really, my goal was really to kind of incorporate everything that we just talked about in this podcast, which is, you know, basically, how do you de-stress? How do you identify your stress? How do you identify your obstacles to cure, basically? And then how do you become more vulnerable and open to change and get to those places that you want to get? So I think with a you know, not quite 3 days and a couple nights, that will be what you'll be able to do. So if by now you're like, oh, when is the retreat and how can I find out more information? Well, all of that information is on my Instagram page. So just Dr. Chris Wallace. And also in the notes for today's podcast. Hope to see you all there.